listening to Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka.
It's Friday, and that means all bets are off, right? Yes, it does. Mike Opelka on Pure Opelka. Thanks for joining the podcast. Thanks for downloading it. So many of you jumping on the Pure Opelka bandwagon. It is appreciated, but we do need to grow it even further. So tell your friends. Today, yes, we will talk about the big question about Roy Moore. Should he stay or should he go? I immediately thought, he's got to go. He has to go. Let him sort out his personal problems and don't let it be a drag on this GOP that's got enough troubles. And if you lose a Senate seat that the Democrats weren't counting on losing, it just pushes a little more momentum to the side of the Democrats. But Moore, probably not a real party guy. Probably not someone who's just going to toe the line. And I say that because of his associations with people like Steve Bannon. I also want to smack the mainstream media and tell them, hey, you're wrong. The mainstream media out there telling everybody that, at least the left-leaning mainstream media, telling everybody that this guy, Roy Moore, the GOP Senate nominee, is Donald Trump's candidate. No, he was not Donald Trump's candidate. Moore was Steve Bannon's candidate. Donald Trump was with Luther Strange. Donald Trump said, Luther Strange supports everything I do. I need to support him. And then when the primary happened and Moore won the primary, Trump did what you're supposed to do as the leader of the party. He supported the candidate. Now he's not been vocally supporting him. And I give the Trump White House credit for getting right on this Roy Moore scandal and saying if it's true, he's got to go. He has to step aside. And I hope Moore does that sooner rather than later. Big story. It will continue. We will follow. Speaking of the president, he is, as you know, in the middle of this Asian trip, 12-day trip, a very, very long trip. Currently, he's in Vietnam, and the president today, and you're going to hear all kinds of stuff. He shook hands with Putin. The president shook hands with Vladimir. According to reports from some of the mainstream media, the White House is still saying there will be no formal meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. But they showed up for the gala in Da Nang, Vietnam, for this Asian Pacific Economic Conference. And they shook hands as they posed on the platform where all the world leaders gather. And why are they wearing pajamas, I thought? No, that's the cultural tradition of these dinners. You wear the typical outfit of the host nation. So Trump was wearing this giant shirt and Putin had on the same one, but it looks like pajamas to me. Before the gala, the president made a great statement honoring the military as we mark Veterans Day.
Our veterans are a national treasure, and I thank them all for their service, sacrifice, and patriotism. To each of you with me today, you are the heroes who fulfill your duty to our nation. And each of you, under the most difficult conditions, did what you had to do, and you did it well.
Nice job, Mr. President. Classy way to mark Veterans Day with veterans in Vietnam, honoring the 50th anniversary of that conflict. I'm not sure what we correctly call it these days. By the way, today is the anniversary of the opening of the Vietnam Memorial. If you haven't seen it, you need to go to Washington, D.C., or if you're in D.C., you need to stop by and see it. On this date in 1982, the Veterans Memorial opened, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial opened. And to this day, any day, you can go there and see people leaving things for either brothers they lost in the war or family members, loved ones who were lost in the war. It's a stunning monument. And while you are there, while you're in D.C. checking out the memorials to our military, make sure you find the Korean War Memorial. It is the forgotten memorial, but it really deserves, especially today, considering what's going on in that part of the world, it deserves our attention. Back to the president. He also gave a strong speech reaffirming his America First policies and letting this group know we're not playing around. We need fair trade. The deals between these nations must be fair and equitable.
The United States will no longer turn a blind eye to violations, cheating, or economic aggression. Those days are over. We will no longer tolerate the audacious theft of intellectual property. We will confront the destructive practices of forcing businesses to surrender their technology to the state and forcing them into joint ventures in exchange for market access.
I think that's strong. I think that's presidential. I believe that's protecting American jobs, American interests, American developed technology. Good for you, Mr. President. And to all you people who said he's not being presidential, he's not. This guy is out there doing what he told us he would do. He would make deals. And he is trying, I believe, despite all of the media piling on him. I think he's trying to do what he told us he would do. Good for you, sir. One of the topics I wanted to hit today deals with social media. And it's kind of complicated because it goes a bunch of different directions. I know we're addicted to social media. I just didn't realize how much we are addicted to social media and how much we've been manipulated to make us be addicted to social media. Listen to the words of one of the founders of Facebook, Sean Parker. Parker was interviewed by Axios, and he said some stuff that made me realize, hey, they made us be addicted to this. They played into it, and they knew they were doing it. Listen to his words.
You know, if the thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them to really understand it, that thought process was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible. And that means that we need to sort of give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's going to get you to contribute more content, and that's going to get you, you know, more likes and comments. I mean, it's a social validation feedback loop it's exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with, because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology.
Wow. A social validation feedback loop that they intentionally exploited to keep people engaged and addicted. Is it me, or does Sean Parker sound a little creepy when he makes this admission? Yeah, listen to what he said after that.
And I think that we, you know, we, the inventors, creators, you know, and it's me, it's Mark, it's the, you know, Kevin Systrom at Instagram, it's all of these people, understood this consciously, and we did it anyway.
Is he laughing at us? We understood this consciously, and we did it anyway. It sure feels like it. So we're addicted to social media. We're addicted to texting and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. And it's causing problems. Chicago, for example. The city of Chicago is considering a new texting while crossing the street ticket. You could be given a ticket for texting while you're crossing the street, and they're entertaining a $500 fine for people who get caught. texting while crossing the street. And just to let you know that we're not alone in America, Pope Francis has also weighed in on this and is telling people, put your phones away during Mass. The Pope quoted as saying, at some point, the priest during Mass says, lift up your hearts. He does not say, lift up your cell phones to make pictures. Now, this is kind of funny because the Pope has 14.7 million followers on Twitter. So, Your Eminence, Your Holy Father, are you going to put down the Twitter? I don't think so. He did say, the Pope did say, use of cell phones during church services is a very ugly thing. So why don't they just have jammers? Jam the phones while people are in church. It's easy to do. If they can do it for an entire country like North Korea, they should be able to just jam all the cell phones that are in the chapel. That'll solve the problem. Till somebody sues. I've got a couple more items on social media. One specifically from a 96-year-old who really doesn't use it, but she has some opinions on it. I'm talking about the style maven, Iris Apfel. Iris became a little bit of an internet sensation when some of her videos started getting attention, and there was a documentary about her. She is quite amazing. If you know who she is, then you know what I'm talking about. But here's Iris talking about many things in our culture, and inside she mentions social media.
This is Iris Apfel, geriatric starlet, here in Hong Kong for the first time. I use makeup only when I go on camera. Other words, all I use is the red lipstick, and I would never use a lot of makeup because I think it's awful. It makes a woman look aged. I believe it was Chanel who once said, nothing makes a woman look so old as trying desperately hard to look young. I mean, you don't have to, you know, fall into a pit and look like an old fuddy-duddy, but you certainly have to be appropriate. And appropriate, I keep saying, is a word that's gone out of our lexicon. People wear gym clothes to a dinner party. It's just ridiculous. I'm doing another book. Will be mostly musings, just my thoughts on different things, how I think technology has ruined the social and inner life of most young people around the world. I'm not fond of social media, by the way. I don't know why everybody is so interested what everybody else is doing every minute or what you had for breakfast. I mean, it's kind of revolting. The world is becoming so homogenized, it's very boring. I think difference is what's so interesting. Be yourself. Open up your head. Throw away all those instruments. Don't let them be your life. I mean, it takes time and effort to know who you are, and I guess a lot of people are too lazy, but if you know who you are and you get to know yourself, you'll be open to all kinds of wonderful experiences, and you can be a person and not a lemming.
Iris is the best. I wish she could be America's great-grandmother or whatever. And what did she call herself? A geriatric starlet? Wonderful wisdom, a great perspective on life and the world. And as someone who uses technology to make his living, as someone who is relying on social media for sources so many times, I understand what she's saying. I use it for work, I keep rationalizing, but I do look at it a lot. Did you catch what she said? Here it is again.
Technology has ruined the social and inner life of most young people around the world. I'm not fond of social media, by the way. I don't know why everybody is so interested what everybody else is doing every minute or what you had for breakfast. I mean, it's kind of revolting.
Thank you, Iris. I appreciate you. There are a handful of strange stories out there that caught my eye, and one of them relates to a situation I experienced just recently. If you listen to the podcast, then you remember I opened up the contents of a safe deposit box I had forgotten about for over 20 years. And it was a wonderful surprise what's inside. Strange things, however, showed up in a safe deposit box in Greenwich Village, New York. They were getting ready to move this bank, so they were opening up the safe deposit boxes that had been abandoned. And when they cracked open one of them, they actually had to call the NYPD. Why? Inside was a fetus in a jar. A fetus in a jar in a safe deposit box in a bank in Greenwich Village. It kind of makes sense, right? It is New York. It is Greenwich Village. The owner is a tattoo artist who apparently has some famous clients like Johnny Depp. And he says it ruined his day. He said, everything is so effing politically correct. You can't have anything. So Jonathan Shaw decided to keep his fetus in a jar that he bought at a flea market in New York City back in the 70s or 80s, he says. He bought a fetus in a jar back in the 70s or 80s in New York at a flea market. Let that sink in. He called it an old antique medical specimen. In an interview with the New York Post, Mr. Shaw was talking about how surprised he was that the NYPD got involved. He forgot about that safe deposit box after 2002, so it's been sitting there unattended for about 15 years. But as I said, he was very surprised the NYPD got involved. I guess they have to get involved when it's human remains. He also said, and this is kind of a clue into who he used to be, I don't collect that kind of stuff anymore. I got rid of the shrunken heads. What? Fetus in a jar and you got rid of your shrunken head collection. Crazy. What's that? You would like more strange news? Okay. Cops in Indiana thought they were chasing a drunk driver. After all, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and they were following this car on a miles-long chase. It's weaving in and out of traffic at speeds up to 40 miles an hour. It's not exactly a high-speed chase, but it was a chase of a car they thought was being driven by a drunk. The car finally crashed into a metal fence, and when they walked up to the car, they found a 7-year-old boy behind the wheel. A 7-year-old boy who had decided mommy and daddy were asleep, and he wanted to go for a ride. Yeah, he was turned over to his mom. This story out of France is a free speech story for me. It's about a jogger, a man who was sentenced to 6 months in jail for wearing a soccer jersey with an offensive name on the back. The guy was running around a small town in France wearing a soccer jersey with the name Bin Laden on the back. A court convicted this person of glorifying terrorism, sentenced him to 6 months in jail. What are you in for? Well, I wore a jersey that said Bin Laden. His lawyer tried to say, look, he just has trouble distinguishing between provocation and his own immaturity. The judge didn't find any comedy here. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. A little closer to me in New Jersey, a diner has added a new 18% gratuity, an automatic gratuity to meals ordered by kids because, according to the diner owner, kids don't tip. Now, parents are saying we're going to boycott. Well, that's your right. It's this guy's right to put the 18% surcharge on, and it's your right not to eat there. The Wayne Hills Diner and Restaurant, apparently very popular after-school hangout in the area, but kids were not tipping. Now, mothers and fathers are saying, the kids don't know any better. People are kind of split on this. The locals, some of them are saying, hey, the wait staff needs to get paid. Kids need to learn how to tip. And others are saying you can't make tipping mandatory. Well, you can, but people can choose not to eat in your restaurant. As we celebrate veterans, as we honor veterans, as we thank veterans, I also have a topic we need to approach, and it relates to a vital question, today's vital question. There is a discussion going on as to whether or not Bo Bergdahl, the guy who abandoned the army and then got caught and held by the Taliban for 5 years, is Bo Bergdahl due hundreds of thousands of dollars in back pay? He was captured after he walked off the base in June of 2009. So he ended up in the hands of the Taliban, and they did torture him. He pled guilty in October to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. He was not given any jail time. He was dishonorably discharged and reduced to the rank of private. However, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, depending on the decision of the military, could be worth, his captivity could be worth more than $300,000 in back pay. What do you think? Does Bo Bergdahl deserve the back pay while he was captured by the Taliban? Does he deserve the $300,000? Go to my Twitter account and take the poll. At StuntBrain is the Twitter account. At StuntBrain, should Bo Bergdahl be eligible for the $300,000 or more in back pay from the United States military? There are a couple of updates to the story about the horrific massacre at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, from just last Sunday. Number one is the news that the church itself, so damaged by both the gunfire and the tragedy, may be torn down. I know a group of Baptist men had volunteered to rebuild the church, but we will see if they're going to tear it down or try and repair it. There's also a new compelling video out, which features the guy who was across the street, Stephen Williford, in his first interview with police right after the chase ended and the gunman was found to be dead. The clip is from a just-released cell phone video. Check it out.
Stephen Williford. How old are you, Steve?
55.
So you think you may have shot him?
I can't think of any other reason why he took that sign out and ended up in that ditch.
Okay.
I know I put some well-placed shots. I
yes.
got an EOTech on an AR, and I think they were well-placed shots.
Okay, and that took place in Sutherland Springs area, or?
That's my house,
okay.
Right across from the church. I was home when I heard the shots, and I didn't know what was going on,
right.
So I had to, okay. God, I had to get into my safe.
Okay, but this guy was at a high rate of speed when
yes.
he was coming.
Yes, and then he started slowing down this way.
Okay.
He stopped for
this man
stopped
was on
momentary.
The corner.
Okay.
And I chased him, and this man, he was on the corner.
Right.
With his truck, and I don't even know you, man. And I said, thank you so much. I said, that's the guy, jumped in the truck with him, and we gave chase.
Please.
That's the compelling first interview Stephen Williford had with the police after he and Johnny Langendorf chased down Devin Kelly, the shooter at the First Baptist Church. Mr. Willingford, Mr. Langendorf, heroes. Thank you, gentlemen. While we are talking about heroes, let's do a little history and talk about some heroes in history. I know Veterans Day is November 11th, but we're celebrating it today. We are honoring our vets. We're saying thank you to the vets on this almost 100th Veterans Day. It'll be two more years. It was November of 1919 that Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day. Wilson proclaimed Armistice Day with these words: "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." Thank a veteran today. Thank the families who are Gold Star families who lost a loved one fighting for this country. Continuing with the military and history theme, on this date in 1775, the United States Marine Corps was founded. A big thank you to all of our Marine friends. In 1871, journalist and adventurer Stanley found Dr. Livingstone. It was in Central Africa, and yes, he did walk up, tap him on the shoulder, and say, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." That's where that comes from. In 1951, on November 10th, the first long-distance phone call made without the help of an operator. Can you imagine? Up until 1951, you were not able to direct dial. You had to have an operator help you, and yes, there was a charge. In 1969, Sesame Street premiered on PBS. Sesame Street has been around since 1969. Kind of amazing. And we mentioned it earlier. In 1982, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. opened on this date. It is something that you have to see. You have to experience. One of my favorites from the old Pure Opelka radio show on The Blaze is joining us. His name is Ernesto Rodriguez. If you followed this show last year, especially last fall, you know the story of Ernesto walking across the country in order to draw attention to the suicides of so many of our veterans, 22 per day. Ernesto walked from his home in Clarksville, Tennessee, all the way to the Pacific Ocean. He's a veteran, a former paratrooper, over 10 years service to this nation, and he met so many great people along the way. We told his story over the months it took him to walk by himself from Clarksville, Tennessee to California. He's up to something else, so let's find out. I think I've got him on the phone. Hello, Ernesto. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, but first of all, let's get the formalities out of the way. Thank you for your service. We are marking Veterans Day today. It is the 10th, and we know it's the 11th, but we want to make sure we get a hold of as many vets in our life as possible, and you're right up there at the top of the charts. So thanks for your service, man. It is so appreciated.
I get that.
Well, now, I told the people about how we got together last year and we kind of monitored you as you walked from Clarksville, Tennessee, all the way across the country, trying to bring attention to the tragedy of so many of our vets taking their own lives, the 22 per day. And you made it all the way to the Pacific Ocean, pretty much by yourself the whole way, which is just remarkable. And I was so moved by not only the fact that you did it, but the last few steps when you got to the Pacific Ocean, when you got to the pier at Santa Monica. That moment still hangs with me. Is it still with you?
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable. I was definitely tearing up at the end. Making it all the way across, and you know, there were several occasions where I wanted to quit. There were several occasions where I was either homesick or hurt or dehydrated. You know, toward the end, I started hallucinating a little bit. And to complete a task like that, which not many people do, it's like a personal triumph, you know, to be able to say that you did something like that. When I'm old and gray, you know, I'm going to be able to say I walked across the country.
Well, it is a remarkable thing to have done, and it changed your perspective, I know, on the nation, but it also helped so many people. Are you still in contact with some of the vets that you encountered along the way?
I am. I speak to a lot of them on a regular basis. Sometimes the conversations are a little painful. A lot of people contact me when they're struggling or a family member loses one of their soldiers. I get a lot of phone calls like that, and it takes a toll on you mentally for sure, because you empathize with them a little bit and you take it in, and on top of that, you're compartmentalizing, you know, your own struggle, because I still struggle from, you know, post-traumatic stress. I still struggle from depression and anxiety as well. So it is difficult, but I do stay in touch with a lot of them.
Wow. That's astounding that people have recognized your strength. Now, I'm a believer, Ernesto, that you're not given anything unless you can handle it. In other words, you've got the strength in you. So I know that those people are directed to you because you do have that empathy and you do have that strength and you do have that ability to help them get through that time. So I'm giving you a vote of confidence on that. And I know you know that because you've been through the struggles a few times. But you're up to something mm-hmm. else that we need to tell people about. You've got something going on that is going to help, I believe it's a Green Beret Foundation in your area?
That's correct.
Yeah, tell me about this. It's coming up in a week.
Yeah, so tomorrow is actually officially the one-year anniversary of me leaving Clarksville to walk across the country. And I've stayed very active in the veteran community in my own local area because that's where you start. You start local, and then you go national, and you try to do as much to spread awareness. So I was in contact with a couple of people from the Green Beret Foundation, and they're doing a CrossFit challenge. I'm not a fan of CrossFit. Too many jumps and burpees and hanging off, you know, pull-up bars. I'm not a fan, you know, but if it's for a good cause, if it's for the right reason, I'll do anything. And you know me, I don't really do anything for donation. I don't do anything for personal gain, you know, minus the recognition for the 22 veterans that commit suicide a day. But a lot of those guys and girls are, you know, from a special forces community, whether it be a spouse or a soldier. So they're doing a CrossFit challenge, and they're taking donations. So I blasted it on my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter that I'm going to be doing the challenge, and I've challenged other people to donate so that we can give them a little more than what they're expecting. I want to go into that gym and kind of surprise them with a big fat check saying, this is from the American people. You know, we recognize your struggles, and that's about it.
Well, that's great. So we can go to your Facebook page, which is Ernesto Rodriguez. We can go to Nerdnesto on Twitter, at Nerdnesto, because he sounds really smooth and he looks really pumped up these days. But Ernesto says he's a nerd, so let's give him his due. He says he's bit of... Are you still a nerd? You still are, right?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Trust me, I'm still a nerd. I still watch my Star Wars. I still watch my you know, my cartoons that I shouldn't be watching at the age of 35. You know, I still read comics.
Well, good.
I have a bunch of collectibles.
But this is to help the Green Beret Foundation, and you're doing this CrossFit challenge, which, you know, I'm not a fan of CrossFit either, but it's because I can't even come close to throwing tires around and hanging from pull-up bars and all the stuff they do. But I know you'll nail it and you'll get it done. So that's what we can do. And you can donate at PayPal too. If you go to Ernesto's Twitter page, at Nerdnesto, you can see that it's right there. And you can actually just click through. And if you want to, whatever you can give. Couple of bucks, whatever, it all adds up, and we're trying to help out. So I'm proud of you for doing this, and I know you don't care that anybody's proud, that you're just doing it to do it, but I am proud of you. You're a good man.
Thank you.
Now this movie you were involved with too. What's going on with this movie you were shooting? This what was it called? We Are the Mighty, something like that.
We Are the Mighty is one of the organizations that has been promoting it, but the name of the movie is actually called Tango Down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I forgot. Sorry.
Right. No, that's fine. It's a movie that's being filmed, written, and produced by veterans. One of the veterans is a former Marine who, her name is Julia Ling, and she was in a TV show back in the day called Chuck. And she approached me on Instagram and asked me if I wanted to be in the film. And we start shooting in December, which is pretty exciting. I have so many projects going on, but well,
that's good. That's good. That's, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be busy.
I know. It's just, it's overwhelming. I didn't think I was going to get to this point. You know, honestly, when I left first, from Clarksville, I kind of just thought it was going to be the local community kind of cheering me on. And I became a little more proactive and started approaching people and telling them what I was doing. And it just became a thing. And there's another thing coming up. So, I'm excited for all the projects that I'm doing, but yeah, Tango Downs in December.
Okay. So we have, the CrossFit challenge is coming up. You go to at Nerd Nesto or find him on Facebook or Instagram and you can donate. We have Tango Down shooting in December. This is a veteran filmmaker's veteran produced film. I can't wait to see it. So I'm excited about that. And then you hinted at something else. Will you come back and tell us about what this something else is?
I can tell you now. I already announced it.
Okay. So. Okay. Good. 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 Tell. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. So I'm sorry.
The two big things that I'm doing right now. There's two books being written right now, and then there's another one that's going to be written while I'm on the trail. I'm leaving in mid-June, and I'm going to be walking the Appalachian Trail. Which is 2,190 some odd miles. So I'll probably round it up to 2,200, to do another veteran suicide awareness walk. And this time, last time I did it with no funding, no donations, no nothing, minus I sold a t-shirt. This time I'm definitely going to be doing a GoFundMe, and I'm going to, and that money will not go to me. That money will not go to the walk. That money will go to two organizations that I haven't picked yet.
Okay, and that starts. You said you're going to walk the entire Appalachian Trail, which we know is not flat, and it is. Mm-hmm. You'll be walking 2,200 miles, give or take, and you're starting this when?
Mid-June.
Okay, I was getting worried there because it can be cold on the Appalachian Trail.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm starting mid June from Maine, so
okay.
I'm going to go north to south. That way, I can beat the winters in Maine, and hopefully get to a milder winter in Georgia, because it'll take me about 6 months. I won't be done until December or January.
So from Maine to Georgia, walking the entire Appalachian Trail. Next year, you're going to have a busy year ahead of you, my friend, and we will there. We will be there to market, to keep you inspired, and to hear what you're experiencing along the way. Because, you know, I live vicariously through your treks around the country.
But, well, get ready because it's going to be very painful. So,
all right. Well, I'll be there. We'll be there for you. But right now, the big thing is the CrossFit Challenge to help the Green Berets, to help the families of those we have lost and those who are struggling after their service on this Veterans Day. So I can think of nobody better to talk to. So I really appreciate you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
I can't get out of here without sharing a couple more stories that have me all wound up. One of them deals with Hillary Clinton. When is she going to go away? It's been over a year. You lost the election. You've foisted another book upon us. We've had the book tour for what happened for months now. You're on late night TV. And now Hillary Clinton has yet another way to get into our lives and our heads. She's a guest editor at Teen Vogue and wrote a letter to herself, her teenage self. A letter of advice that she would give to herself if she had a time machine after her first semester at Wellesley College. Can we just give it a rest? I don't really think she believes she lost the election, and I think she actually thinks somewhere in her twisted mind that she could be installed as president the way Rosie O'Donnell would like it to happen. It's not happening. In fact, I think Joe Biden has a better chance of becoming president than Hillary Clinton. After all, he told Oprah just 2 days ago that his greatest regret is that he is not the president. Did you catch that? He regrets that he is not the president. He could have, I believe, he could have beaten Donald Trump, depending on his vice presidential candidate. I know a lot of people are going, you don't like Trump. No, look, I voted for Trump. I support Trump. But I know, based on what I know of politics and the way Biden is viewed, I believe he would have beaten Trump handily. Now, does that mean 2020 will be Joe Biden running? If he's healthy, I say yes. Let me share a couple more stories with you before we check out for the weekend. Two of them involve Walmart. A jury in Alabama has awarded a man $7.5 million after he claims he broke his hip while reaching to buy watermelons at a Walmart store. Henry Walker, who was 59 when it happened back in June of 2015, claims his foot got trapped under a pallet with a big stack of watermelons on it, and he was reaching for one. He fell, he broke his hip. Walmart said, look, we do these displays all the time. We're still doing them. We disagree with the verdict. We're disappointed. We appreciate the jury's service, but we're going to appeal. This guy got $7.5 million for falling in a Walmart after he was reaching for a watermelon. They will appeal, but I'm telling you, it might go higher. Also in Walmart, a stupid criminal, a woman got accused of swapping barcodes, and she tried to buy almost $2,000 worth of electronics and pay only $3.70. A Florida woman arrested Monday. She was trying to carry out a stupid robbery. Cheyenne Amber West is the mom who said she was just trying to get some good Christmas presents. And she would go around and pick up the barcodes from cheap things and slap it on top of the merchandise she was trying to buy. She would go to the clearance department and lift the barcodes. The loss prevention officer at Walmart noticed what mom was doing and stopped her before she could buy $2,000 worth of stuff for $3.70. First of all, that's a little too deep of a discount, even for Walmart. You know you're going to get pegged on that one. She said, I was just trying to get some gifts for my son that I cannot afford. The computer's for my husband. Since he just got me a Coach purse, I figured he deserved something nice as well. People are stuck on stupid, aren't they? Speaking of stuck on stupid, I don't know if this is fake. It appears to be real, and if it is real, it's the dumbest thing ever. On Shared.com, there was a story posted recently about people giving themselves nostril hair extensions. Just let that sink in. Put in the phrase nostril hair extensions in your Google search engine and be prepared to have your jaw drop. What's next? Ear hair extensions? To me, this is dumber than the people who pay $300, $400, $500 for a pair of jeans that's all torn up. Ripped jeans. Nostril hair extensions. And no, I did not forget. Of course, we have a word of the day. The word of the day today is cipher. Cipher. I'm talking about the noun cipher. A person or thing of no importance. Someone who does the bidding of others and seems to have no will of their own. One might consider Huma Abedin to have been Hillary Clinton's cipher.
Cipher.
That's an easy one. Once more.
Cipher.
Okay, use it 3 times today and be careful where you use it. People may not want you calling them a cipher. But if you use it correctly, it's yours 3 times today. All right, I'm getting out of here. We'll be back Monday unless some crazy news breaks. Till then, testudo, my friends. Testudo.